Amen. Thank you, Carol and Karen. Blessing. Are you looking for him? Huh? I'll tell you what, boy, in these days, it is amazing to think that he is coming again, and we're seeing things happen that, again, we didn't have to see him happen to believe. We should believe because God said so, but it sure does look like things are moving that direction. It's an exciting day we live in. Said that recently to someone. They said, well, I don't see what's so exciting. I said, oh, I'm telling you, it is exciting. Well, I'm not sure I like it. And I said, I like it. I'm excited about the day we live in, and it is an exciting, exciting day. Well, we're in the book of Nahum. You probably haven't been here in a while. And we run across a little passage here. And actually, this is a very, very long message. And that's why I split it into two messages, and this morning is part. Some of you, just to see the look, you know, just to see that look on your face, it was worth saying all that. It's like, long. This is a long message? Oh, no, what are we going to do? But actually, yes, I have split this message into two messages, and part one is this morning, and part two is tonight. And it's an exciting passage, really. And it's very interesting. Brother Tim Cook preached in chapel this week, talking about how big God is, and just doing a tremendous, tremendous job. And so I had to ask him. I said, you didn't get into this passage, did you? And so he did not, because I've been working on this, and it's good how God has kind of put these together. In fact, the message he preached, we're going to have him preach that on Sunday night of Missions Conference. And so I'm looking forward to that, and that's going to be a real blessing. But I want to talk to you this morning about the dust of his feet. The dust of his feet. It says in verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And look what it says. And the clouds are the dust of his feet. Do you kind of get an idea how big God is? I mean, seriously, think about that. The clouds are the dust of his feet. As I read that verse, I think no matter how big my problems might be or trials might be, I mean, God, the clouds are the dust of his feet. You know, if you want to walk down a little a dusty path somewhere and just kind of stir things up and watch that, you get an idea of all those big cumulus clouds that are billowy and puffy up in the horizon. And that's, you know, you look down at that dust you've stirred up and how big God is, how big he is, the dust of his feet. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching, and that you'll speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we need. Lord, there are certainly many situations here that need a big God. There may be someone here who's not saved. And Lord, they may not think there's any way they can be saved. Let them see how big you are, God, and that you can save them. Let them see how you can change their life. Let them see how you can bless them and you can take care of them. Help that Christian who has doubts and needs today. Lord, help him to just imagine how big you are and how the clouds are the dust of your feet. And just speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Palm Sunday, 1965. Of course, this area had very, very severe weather and a tornado. Of course, went through Manitow Beach area and all around there. And many of you remember that. I know a book has been written about that. I'm from Indiana, and I was in first grade in 1965. Now you start calculating, right? But I know you'll be shocked. You'll be amazed at how young I really am. But I was in Marion, Indiana, and we were living within really a mile of the most devastation in Indiana that during that series of tornadoes that took place on that night. And I remember clearly, my family didn't go to church. We were just sitting at home watching Walt Disney. I don't remember what it was called back then, maybe The Wonderful World of Disney or something like that. But we were watching Walt Disney, as we did many Sunday evenings. And I remember when the tornado hit, and like I say, it did its most devastation. We kind of lived right on the edge of a little valley, and the tornado came to the edge of that valley, which would have been probably about 10 blocks from our house. And it literally followed the valley, and it did not. It was on a path that would have hit our house, and who knows what would have happened. But instead, it got in that valley and went around our little housing area there, and we had very little damage. But, you know, for a first grader, I'm guessing about 8 years old, six, seven, 8 years old, somewhere around there, I can still remember how dark it was and how loud everything was and how terrified I was. And after that, I just really had a fear of storms. And I remember that clearly through my elementary years. I remember every time it started to get looking like it was going to storm, I was terrified. And but as I grew older, I became more fascinated than fearful of clouds and storms. And I've actually been very fascinated watching clouds, and I like to watch storms, and I like to watch the lightning, and you know, see that, and just see those clouds, especially the big clouds. When I fly, I enjoy looking at the clouds. I remember the first time I flew, and I thought, "Wow, look at those clouds!" Until we went into the clouds, and they're bumpy, and I didn't like that necessarily at that time. But it just was. It's always been very fascinating to me to watch storms and watch clouds and all of that. Now, I was saved in 1977, 32 years ago this month. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And since I've been saved, I've seen a lot of spiritual clouds in my life. I've seen a lot of them. And as a child, I had a fear that went to fascination. As a Christian, I have gone from fear to faith. You know, the clouds have brought me to a greater faith, I believe, in what God can do and what God does do. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning and then tonight. This phrase really is a great phrase in the Scripture. The clouds are the dust of His feet. And we're going to study that, and I think I have a good understanding of that. Now, it's true, the context here, it is a context of a storm. It's a context of God being jealous, it says. And the Lord revengeth. And the Lord revengeth and is furious. And vengeance. And the whirlwind. And a storm. The context there is very, very clear what is going on here. And there is vengeance and wrath. And in my mind, though, I imagine there's some movement in heaven. And that's how I picture the clouds. I see, in my mind, I see God on His chariot, perhaps, riding across the heavens, and the clouds are the dust that is springing up from the activity of God. You know, when I realized this verse and realized the clouds in my life and some of those difficult times in my life, I realized they're really not a bad thing, those clouds. They're really just proof that God's doing something. It's just proof that there's movement. It's just proof that something's happening. I mean, it's like a baseball player who he's running on the base path and the ball is coming in and he slides and there's a poof of dust. Something just happened. You know, as long as everybody's just standing around doing nothing, there is no dust. As long as everybody's just standing there, there's no hits taking place or anything else. The ground is just real calm and easy, and there's no dust. But when I think about the clouds being the dust of God's feet, In my mind, I envision God's busy. God's got a lot of things going on. God's wanting to work in your life. God's wanting to answer your prayer. Why would we complain about a cloud of dust if it's proof that God Almighty is doing a work we've asked Him to do? Oh, but we get nervous about those clouds, don't we? We really do. We get nervous about those clouds. I think about dust, you know, and think about days of mowing. You know, I remember my yard in Flint, and sometimes it'd get real dry, and we had pine trees all around our yard and everything, and sometimes it gets so dry, it was unbelievable. And I had a orange Simplicity mower. And it was shiny. I mean, it was a nice mower, and I'd have it nice and shiny and everything. And I'd go out and mow the dust. How many of you know what I mean by mowing dust? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you, your yards, you've experienced that. And I'm talking about dust flying everywhere. I mean, it's just going everywhere. And here's my shiny orange Simplicity mower. Now it's not shiny. Now it's covered in dust. Now you could write "dust me," you know, "wash me" across the front of it. And why is that? Because something just happened. That's why. because something just took place, because it didn't sit still, because something's going to happen, because something is taking place. It made a whole bunch of dust. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of clouds. It's because our God's working. It's because God's busy. It's because God's doing something. And I want you to understand that and see that the clouds are the dust of His feet. Number one, we see, the first thing we see here is we see His covering. His covering. That talks about God's presence. God's presence. His covering. Notice what it says here. It says, the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. And in my mind, I see this cloud that is covering Him. I see this cloud that is making it so that I can't really see all that's going on. Are you staying with me here? Well, try to stay with me now, okay? All right, it's Sunday morning. I know it's tough on you. But in my mind, I see that these clouds have been all stirred up. Kind of like when I'd be out mowing, my wife would see this cloud of dust, and it would just keep moving, you know? And it just went from dust to dust to dust to dust. And she had no idea necessarily what was in the middle of that. She assumed it was something stirring up the dust. Well, it was. And God is moving, but you can't necessarily see Him. Now, you know something's happening because you see the clouds. You know something's taking place because there's a whole bunch of clouds there. God says His way is to bring up those clouds. His way is to stir up that dust, amen? His way with the wind and with the storm and with all that that's going on is, but I can't see Him. You know, and that bothers us, doesn't it? That really bothers us. I mean, the storm that you're in right now, it bothers you because, God, I don't see you. All I see is the clouds. Well, that's proof He's there. Amen. But God, I'd like to see what you're doing. I'd like to see what's going on. God's, you don't have to. Do you know that's kind of how God has always been? If you study your Bible, you'll see that's how God is often. God, in His activity, He's stirring up dust. He's stirring up clouds. But He's often covered. He's often hidden. Look at Job 26, verse 9. Boy, this is good stuff. Job 26, verse 9. Job 26, 9. The Bible says, He holdeth back the face of His throne and spreadeth His cloud upon it. Do you understand? God hides His throne with the clouds. Often. We shouldn't be shocked. You know, we should not be shocked that we pray and pray and pray and pray, and all of a sudden these clouds come up and we say, oh, this is a trial, this is a storm, this is a problem. We shouldn't be shocked that, hey, God's in that thing. Well, yeah, but I don't see His crown. I don't see His scepter. I don't see His throne. Oh, you know, He's often hidden in those clouds. But He's there. He's there. Huh? Notice here, the Bible says in Job, it says that His throne is hidden. Let me tell you this, His throne is hidden now. The kings of this world and the wealthy of this world and the leaders of this world, they think they've got all this stuff figured out. And the legislators of this world, they think they've got this stuff all figured out. They think that we're going down. They think that they're going to silence us. They think that they're going to stop us. Let me tell you something. God's there. His throne's hidden. His throne's hidden. He doesn't have to put up a big sign that says, I am God. Beware. He doesn't have to do that. It's all there. But it's hidden in the clouds. Amen? His throne is hidden right now. Many, many people today worship Satan. But I got news for you. God's throne is hidden. Oh, there's so many people that, you know, they'll follow Satan here and follow him there, and they'll follow him into drugs, and they'll follow him into pornography, and they'll follow him into all kinds of wickedness and all of that. And they say, hey, we're winning this thing. Oh, no. God's throne is hidden in the clouds. He's still there. He's not giving up. It's not over, amen? God's throne is hidden. God's been hiding His throne for years. He always hides His throne. How about when Jesus was here? When Jesus was here, nobody saw the crown on His head, but He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And nobody saw the scepter in His hands. They didn't see that. No, nobody saw the throne. It was all hidden. His glory was hidden in flesh. But I got news for you. He's God. He's still God. Oh, and every eye shall see him one of these days. But I don't want to get to one of my points. That's later. But that's tonight, I think. But you know what? When Jesus was here, it was hidden that he was the king. It was hidden in the clouds. It was hidden in the clouds of him being beaten. It was hidden in the clouds of him being cursed. It was hidden in the clouds of the crown of thorns being pressed down on his head. It was hidden in all those clouds. But I got news for you. He's God. He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. In the Old Testament, God said to Moses, I come unto thee how? I come unto thee in a thick cloud. Amen. God told him, he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And yet the Bible says he spoke to him face to face, but there was a thick cloud. Why? Because man couldn't look on the glory of God. But I'm telling you, God often is hidden. God veiled his glory in a cloud. In the tabernacle where God met his people, he covered it with a cloud because the people couldn't handle the glory of God. While God's glory filled that tabernacle, God had to cover it with a cloud. Isn't that something? The little altar of incense that provided the incense and burnt the incense, that made a cloud of incense to cover the mercy seat where the Shekinah glory of God would be. So the high priest wouldn't die. What was that? It was a cloud. It was hiding him. It was a cloud so that God's glory would be hidden. And God often and many times hides his glory in the clouds. Do you know, it was so hidden. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 2, it says the angels desired to look into it. Just want to desire, couldn't figure out what God was up to. The angels. Why? Because it was all hidden. Why? Because that's how God is. God uses the clouds as a covering. You say, why are you saying all this? Because I promise you, there's someone here who says today, I'm in a storm, I'm in a trial, the clouds are all around me, and I just don't see God. Don't be surprised. But what you need to understand is the clouds are the dust of his feet, and he's there. Because where there's no feet, there's no cloud. Where there's no movement, there's no cloud. Where there's no activity, there's no cloud. As long as my simplicity mower sat still, there was no cloud of dust. As long as all it did was just sit in the garage, there was no cloud of dust. I'm telling you today that no matter what your problem, no matter what you need, don't think the clouds are your enemy. Don't think that the clouds are a sign of bad. The clouds are the dust of his feet. And the fact that there are clouds, the fact there's a storm, the fact that there's rain, the fact that there's wind, the fact that there's lightning, the fact that all of that happens within our lives is proof. Hey, God's there. God's working. God's moving. God's got something going on. Amen? Amen. The clouds. So many times we see his covering. With the clouds, hidden in the clouds, the angels wanted, they desired to look into salvation. They didn't understand. They desired to look into, I'm talking about at every burning sacrifice in the Old Testament time, and the smoke of that sacrifice would go up, and God would say, oh, that's such a wonderful smell to me. And the angels would scratch their heads and say, we don't understand. Why? Because it was hidden in the clouds. The angels desired to look into it. And that cloud over the tabernacle and the cloud of incense. And the angels watched and they wondered and they had to wonder about that. And they could not understand. What is God doing? Jesus, God incarnate. But it wasn't the birth of a king, was it? Oh, no. No, we know the story. We know the story. Every child knows the story of Christmas. And they should know the story of Christmas. Amen. Amen. It has nothing to do with Frosty the Snowman. That's not what Christmas is all about. It's not about a Christmas tree. Huh? It's all about Jesus, God with us. It's all about God incarnate. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. And that's what it's all about. And yet, there was no trumpet sound. There was no announcement of a king being born. No, he was born in a stable. As the Lamb of God. not as a king, not as Lord of Lords. No, no, no. All of that was hidden. All of the royalty was hidden. Oh, we had a glimpse of his royalty from the prophets. There was a glimpse as you read your Bible, and some prophecy, if you study your Bible, you can see it. The king, but there were clouds. There was a cloud of Herod who proclaimed that all the little babies would be killed because he was afraid of this king. Clouds. You say, oh man, I'm in the middle of a storm right now. Hey, you know what? God's right there. He's right there. Oh, I don't like the clouds. Oh, the clouds are proof God's there. I'm going to show you that. Jesus, as he grew older, his father's voice came from a cloud. Amen. Luke 9, it says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. But the voice was not God coming down and looking down at the crowd there and said, hey, listen to my son. It was just a voice in the midst of the clouds. Well, what do you suppose? Why do you suppose God covers himself? Why do you suppose God covered himself? This is my beloved son. Hear him. Why do you suppose he tells you and I, hey, listen, listen to what I say in my word. Listen to me. And we walk on. Well, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Because he wants us to believe by faith. He wants us to trust him by faith, not by sight. And so he's in the clouds. Oh, dear friend, he wants you this morning to trust him by faith. You may have clouds around you of sin and clouds of doubt and clouds of sorrow and clouds of pain. But I've got news for you. The clouds are just dust at his feet, and he's there. And he's busy, and he's working, and he's working for you because, my friend, it's your storm you're talking about. And he's working because he wants you to trust him by faith. And in the clouds, that voice of the Father came out of that cloud. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And the disciples said, we will hear him by faith. Amen. And until the very time Jesus died on the cross, in my mind, Brother Hawkins, I imagine those angels going, what in the world is God up to? What is he doing? What is God doing? I mean, he just went to earth. The people are cursing him. They're beating him. They're punching him. Why doesn't he just speak and they die? What is he doing? Can you imagine? And the angels just watched. And when Jesus was crucified, they nailed him to a cross. And the Bible says that the clouds came over the earth and covered the sun, and it was dark. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father was separated from the Son because of our sins put on the Son. And the clouds. But wait, listen to me. God was there. The Father was there. God was there. Listen. Those clouds separated the Father and Son because of sin. But God was working. Do not ever think that man figured out they needed to kill Jesus on the cross. Do not ever think that, God lost that time. Oh, no, don't ever think that was all God's plan. And every cloud that appeared was the dust at God's feet as God's plan was fulfilled. Jesus had to die on the cross. He had to die or we would all be lost. And the clouds were the dust of his feet. And at Calvary, those clouds and the dust was so billowy that the sun was blotted out. And darkness was on the face of the earth because God was doing the work. Why? So you'll believe. Why? So we'll trust him. Why? So we'll believe his word. He said it. Do you believe it? Why? Why would he cover himself? Why doesn't he just appear and tell everyone, hey, just do what I tell you to do? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. We're not robots. He wants us to believe him. He wants us to trust him. You sit here today and you say, preacher, you don't understand the storm that I'm in. I understand this about that storm. I promise you this. He's there. The clouds that you see, the billowy black darkness, and whatever is going on, I'm telling you, the clouds are the dust at his feet. And as a heavenly Father, he is there and he is in activity, busily working. And the clouds spring up, but he has something he wants to do. His covering, the clouds. Who could ever have imagined Joseph? Who could ever dream up a story like Joseph? I mean, think about this. Joseph, who everything's going great for him. He has a coat of many colors, and you know, you couldn't have it any better than Joseph. And his brothers are jealous of him because he walks with God. And who could ever imagine that Joseph would be sold by his brothers? And that Joseph, as a dark storm clouds came and Joseph is being taken away from his family and his home. Who could ever imagine that's going to work out good? But God was stirring up the dust. God was stirring up the dust because God had a plan years later that had to take place for Joseph's family to live. You don't know what's going on, my friend. You have no idea why those clouds are billowing around you right now. You have no idea why that wind is blowing and why the lightning is flying. You cannot even begin to imagine, but somewhere along the line, wouldn't it make sense that we say, God, I trust you? And Joseph did. And even as Joseph is lied about and then put into prison because all he did was right, the clouds billowed, but God was working. What a amazing story as Joseph, with all the clouds of sorrow and pain and hurt and everything he went through, God used him to redeem a nation. What an amazing thing. Moses, condemned to die as a little baby. Who'd ever thought that the clouds of a ruling of the Egyptians, a ruling that every baby boy would die, who'd ever think that he's going to get out of that? But in those clouds, God's working because he's raising up a Moses. I mean, in those clouds, God is working because Moses is put into a little basket and put in the river. And who knows what's going to happen? Well, somebody knew. He knew. I'm just telling you, folks. You say, yeah, but I don't understand. You don't have to understand. Understand the clouds are the dust of his feet, and he's working. Let him work. Trust him. And Moses, good night. Pharaoh's daughter finds him. Sure was lucky, wasn't it? Oh, we don't believe in that. Yeah, and Moses, growing up in Pharaoh's school, took speech class, but he flunked because he couldn't talk right. You know what I'm talking about, speech class? And you have to be able to talk right. And if you stutter, it means you're going to get a bad grade. He flunked. God says, Moses, I want you to lead my people. God, have you heard me? Can you imagine? And those clouds, they're just billowing all around. Satan's laughing. Are you listening? He laughs at us. Yeah, and those clouds are built. But that's because God's doing something. It's because God's busy. I'm telling you, the simplicity sits. It stays shiny orange, but nothing happens. And the dust, because God's chariot is coming across and God's busy. Amen? Yeah. And Moses becomes the greatest leader other than Jesus. Jesus' birth, his life, his death all covered with clouds. Every part of it. Even to the part of Judas Iscariot, a friend, a disciple, betraying him. Every part of it covered with clouds. Yeah. Oh, and we watch today evil lurking all around us. It is too. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. So I said, oh, there's a new conspiracy out. There's just one conspiracy. And it's right out of hell. Amen. Everything, they're all the other ones are just, who cares? Right? Oh, there's this group, there's that group. No. They're just hell. That conspiracy right there. Satan's conspiracy is out to get you. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to devour. That's the only conspiracy you need to know about. And boy, let me tell you something. The clouds are rolling in around the United States of America. Oh, I'm telling you, with the Muslim threat. You say, now, preacher, that's not popular. I didn't come here to be popular. I'm telling you, it's a threat with the atheistic threat. With the new evangelical threat, I'm just saying the clouds are just rolling in all around. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. He's there. God's working. God's got it under control. Amen. Hey, amen. You know, we want to say that. We want to say, but God, I want to see what you're up to. You know what? That's kind of like the sparrow telling the eagle something. Amen. It's kind of like a minnow asking the whale, hey, explain yourself to me, Mr. Whale. Amen. It's like the gnat telling the elephant, hey, where are you going, buddy? If the clouds are the dust of his feet, who in the world do we think we are to ever question him? Who do we think we are to question him? The Bible says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The Bible says it's a glory of God to conceal a thing. Who do we think we are to question him? Look at Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4. Boy, we need to be careful. Bible says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And watch what it says. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Need to be careful. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let me illustrate this way. This past summer, I got my wife a little swimming pool so she could just lay out and float in the water. It's good for her back, and it helps her. Of course, it would help if it was ever warm. But anyway, and of course she dresses properly and everything. But I got her this pool, and obviously it lasted, you know, all through the summer, a couple of weeks, and so she was gone recently. So I had to. It was my job to take the pool down, to drain it, and take it all down and everything. Well, anyway, it took a couple of days to drain, which is really interesting, because it's too deep. But anyway, so the other day, I don't remember what day it was, but it was dark clouds all day long. I'm going to say it was last Saturday. It might have been Friday. I don't remember. But anyway, and it was dark clouds. I mean, there were black clouds all around. I'm saying it's going to rain. And it was time to fold the thing up and put it away, but it was still damp. And you know, with vinyl, you can't put them away wet because it'll ruin them. And I could not ruin her wonderful pool. So I'm watching these clouds, and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to rain. I mean, as soon as I go out there and start on this thing, it's going to rain. And I waited and waited, and no rain. No rain. I'm waiting. I'm thinking, it's going to rain. I need to do this now. And no rain. So finally, I decide, you know, maybe it's not going to rain. It's just going to be dark. So I go outside, and I start dealing with this thing. And I get my towels out, and I start wiping this thing down, trying to get it dry. And I mean, I'm all over that thing. And I found movements that haven't moved in a long, long time. And they wish they didn't. But I mean, I wiped that thing down. I dried it. I used all kinds of towels, by the way. Washed every one of them. Put them away. Amen. But thank you, ladies. But I wiped that down. And I mean, seriously, this is exactly the way things go. As soon as I snapped that final towel and said, okay, now it's time, I will let it finish drying. It is ready to dry off. I'll fold it within the next half hour. Do you know, as soon as those words exited my mouth, heaven opened up and it poured. Now you say, well, what's the lesson, preacher? The lesson is, if I had not been looking at the dumb clouds and just did my job, everything would have been fine. I'd have got it done. It would have been over. It would have been finished. And everybody would have been happy. And that's exactly what God says here. God says, do not observe the wind, because if you watch the wind, you'll never sow. And if you look at the clouds and regard the clouds, you'll never reap. You know, we can so easily use it as an excuse. Oh, but it's such a bad economy. Keep running buses. Keep going soul winning. Keep telling people about Jesus. Oh, but the wind is blowing and the clouds are so big. There's too much regarding when there should be sowing and reaping. Amen. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. So many folks are so busy regarding all that's the clouds that are going on around us. We're not doing what God wants us to do. Wind and clouds can be an excuse. Hey, you know what? Just because the economy's bad, just because the clouds of inflation and the clouds of lost jobs and all that, you know what? We just have to keep going. You just keep going. Because again, the clouds are not our enemy. The clouds are the dust of His feet, and the clouds mean that He's there. He's stirring up the dust. He's hidden, but He's there. We need to keep going. We need to keep going. Number one, we see the covering. That's God's presence. Number two, and this is very brief, we see, number two, His covenant. That's God's promise. Go to Genesis 9. This is my last point this morning. Genesis 9, verse 13. This is good. Genesis 9 and verse 13. Number one, we see His covering. That is God's presence. Number two, we see His covenant. That is God's promise. Genesis 9. And verse 13. Here's another thing about those clouds. Amen. It talks about God's covenant. I love this. Genesis 9:13. The Bible says, I do set my bow in the cloud. What's he talking about? He's talking about a rainbow. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. That is so good. His covenant. Within every cloud is a rainbow. Every cloud. It's water, and the sun is the sun. And when it hits that water, there's a rainbow. Every cloud. And within every cloud, there is a promise of God. Every cloud. I don't care what kind of cloud. Oh, that looks like a tornadic cloud. Yeah, and within that cloud, there's a promise of God. Not only is God stirring things up and the dust is flying because God's busy, but He also has a promise in there. Not only is His presence there, but His promise is also there. And God said, never again will I send a flood to destroy the earth. The key there is God's promise in the cloud. Sometimes you see that rainbow. Huge, big old rainbow. But guess what? Whether you see it or not, it's always there. It's always there. I remember when we went to Niagara Falls, and I'll tell about this again in a minute. But one of the times, when you go above the falls, depending on how the sun is and where you're standing and everything, but as you, when you're standing on the ground, I believe we were on what is called Goat Island, and we were looking down. I'm going to say it, the American Falls. It might have been the Horseshoe. I think it was the Horseshoe Falls. But anyway, we were looking down there, and there was a rainbow. And by the way, the homosexuals do not own rainbows. Amen. I like rainbows. I do not like perversion. Amen. I mean, because I like rainbows because it speaks of God's promise. And I have claimed rainbows for years as far as it being God's promises to me. And I get excited about God's promises. And so as we stood there at Niagara Falls, and I looked down, and I will explain in a minute, why that was such a special time. But I saw that rainbow there at the Horseshoe Falls, and I saw the rainbow right in the middle of that. And I thought, wow, that is so neat. God loves me. God made promises to me, and He promised me so many things, and God is so good. Now, later on that day, we went in the little boat called the Maid of the Mist, and of course, the mist is the cloud that is boiling up around those falls because of the power of the water there. And just recently, we just that day, we saw the rainbow, but we went down in that boat, and we got right on the edge of those falls. How many of you ever done that? I know several. Okay, many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I mean, it's real wet and everything right there. And that mist is all around you. And the falls are right in front of you. And you can hear the roar of those falls. And that roar is deafening. And I thought, wow, what a great truth this is. Because I know right above those clouds, no matter how dark it was right then and there, because the mist had blocked out the sun, and the roar was deafening. But I knew that right up there, just a little while before, I'd seen that rainbow. I couldn't see it then, but I knew it was there. You know, it doesn't matter how much the storm is raging around you and the roar is deafening. Let me tell you something. God's promise is always true. It's always true. His promises, you can't always see it. You don't always understand it, but by faith you can know it, because He said it. He says here in chapter 9, He says, and I will remember. He says in verse 16, I will look upon it that I may remember my covenant. That big cloud that's there, that's God's promise. In that cloud is His promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's His covenant. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's His covenant with you. Did you call upon Jesus to save you? Then He made a covenant with you, and no matter how the clouds may look around you, His promise is right there. Did you do it? Did you do it? Did you ask Him to come into your heart and save you? Did you call on Him? Did you say, oh God, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved? Did you do that? And if you did that, His promise is true. Hey, is He in your heart? He says, I will never leave thee. Your cloud is big and it's billowy and you're scared, you don't know what to do. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But preacher, I don't see it right now. What's there? It's there. He said so. It's there. Amen. Amen. Others may leave you. He never will. That's what He said. I close with verse 14 here in Genesis. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud. We'll talk more about this tonight. But here He's bringing a cloud with a promise. Amen. When I bring, you say that cloud's my enemy. That cloud's your friend. Well, that cloud, it's going to hurt me. The clouds never hurt you. The cloud's the dust of His feet. He's there, and He brings a promise in that cloud. You say, preacher, how do you know so many promises of God? Because I've had to claim them. That's how you're going to know the promises of God. That's the only way you really know the promises of God, is you claim them. You know that it's real when you appropriate it to your life. And He remembers, because that bow is in every cloud. I remember very, very clearly, as if it were yesterday, the cloud of my father's death. And on April 18th, 1998, April 18th, of course, is my birthday. And in 1998, that was on a Saturday, my sister called and said, Dad's in the hospital and it really looks bad. Of course, Dad had emphysema from smoking and we knew he was going to die soon, but I had no idea it was going to be then. It was a Saturday and the clouds started to form. I had to decide, what am I going to do? It's a Saturday. I need to preach Sunday. I need to be in church. I prayed and asked God what he wanted me to do. That Saturday, we had a church, a full church activity, and I couldn't leave. I had to be there for that. And the clouds were rolling in, dark clouds. That same Saturday, just after I'd heard that information that my father was dying in the hospital, Angela fell and hit her teeth on a bumper of a car when she was disobeying and broke out her two front teeth. My wife had to take her to an emergency room and then to a dentist to try to repair her front teeth, and the clouds were huge. My dad was dying. My daughter was hurting. It was Saturday. God said, stay and preach on Sunday. And so I stayed home. We lived about 4 hours away. And I remember Sunday evening after the service, we immediately left and went down to Indiana to be with Dad in the hospital, and he was still alive. And I praise the Lord for that. And then later on, all the family was gathered together. I believe it was on the Monday morning, and we were all gathered together, and everybody was there, and Dad went to be with the Lord then. We had the funeral shortly after that, and at the end of that week is we had had a contest at our church, Landmark Baptist in Flint, and the contest winners won the trip to Niagara Falls that I was talking about a while ago. And of course you say, well, I could never have gone. I mean, you just preached your dad's funeral, but I asked God and God wanted me to go. So we took the winners of that trip to Niagara Falls the same week that my father had died. And it was there at Niagara Falls that I was really struggling with my dad dying. Most people never know. Preachers are very good at hiding a lot of things. And I was just having a hard time. I mean, I knew Dad had trusted Christ as Savior, but I was still very concerned. I said, God, you gotta help me with this. I just don't know. And that's when I looked down, Brother Hawkins, at the waterfalls and the mist, and I saw that rainbow in the middle of that cloud. And that's when I went down in the little boat and heard the roar and knew that Satan was roaring at me. But I also knew that up in that cloud, that rainbow was still there. God's promises were still there. But that wasn't the end of the story, because we went home afterwards. And of course, while we were gone, we had been gone to Indiana for the funeral. We went right to Niagara Falls after that, and we had not checked our mail. But I remember we got the mail, and there was a birthday card. And it was a card from Dad that he had sent before he went into the hospital. I'll never forget opening it up. And immediately I missed my dad and I thought about my dad. But I again said, God, thank you for the rainbow at Niagara Falls. Thank you for what you taught me. Thank you for your promises. And I pulled the card out. And on the front of the card was a picture of waterfalls and a rainbow from my dad. And you know, God's so good. You say, I can't handle the clouds. Oh, let me tell you, they're the dust at his feet. He's working. He's going to answer your prayer. He's working. He's trying to teach you. He's working. He wants you to trust him. He's working. He wants you to believe his promise. He's God. He's big. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than anything and anyone. Let's bow our heads, please. We see his covering, God's presence. We see his covenant, God's promise. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here this morning who's never trusted Jesus as Savior. If you died right now, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. If that's you and you'd be honest, you'd say, please pray for me. Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm not sure. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody's looking but me. You say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone? Be honest. Just slip up your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know if I'm saved. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm already saved. I know that. But God's speaking to my heart about something today. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Just slip it up all over, all over, all over. God's speaking to my heart. Father, bless our invitation. I thank you for the clout. I thank you that I know that they're not always bad. It seems bad. I thank you that there's been so many precious times, Lord, of really getting to know you in those clouds, in the storms, and the trials. And I pray for folks here today. I pray, first of all, for those who are not saved, that they'll get saved today, Lord. Help them to realize that what has been spoken is true, and they can know they're going to heaven. And I pray for Christians all across this room. Lord, some are in trials, some are in storms. Some, they see the clouds. Lord, help them, God, to make whatever decisions they need to make today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. 261 in your hymnal, 261. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. God, speak into your heart today. You have a decision to make. You come. Do not hesitate as we sing. You come.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The instruments continue to play. If you have a decision you need to make or something you just want to pray about, you come. You come today. The clouds, there is covering. But He's there. He's there. The clouds, there is covenant. Within every cloud, there's a bow, He said. That's my covenant. That's my promise to you. Oh, so many promises He makes. And every one He keeps. Something you need to pray about today. Don't hesitate. Folks are praying. Folks have come. You have a decision to make. You come. Have one more verse. If anyone needs to come, come on this verse. Folks are finishing up. Decisions, prayers. If you have something you'd like to come pray about, I trust we'll all think as we look at the clouds. Amen. All right. I hope you'll come back tonight at 6 o'clock to hear part two of that message, and it'll certainly be a help to you, I believe, with all my heart. All right. Then, of course, 4:30 will be ensemble practice. 5 o'clock, all the different groups will meet, choirs, and prayer time for men and ladies, and then the teens meet at 5. And be on time, and it'll be a blessing to you again, 6 o'clock tonight, the service. Afterwards, all mission groups will be meeting somewhere, and we'll talk more about that tonight, but I trust you'll be with us for the evening service. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
My Father, we are truly thankful for your presence and your active care and watch over us as we go through our day-to-day lives. May we realize your presence near us, even in the time of trial and time of trouble. Lord, even when the clouds look the darkest, we help us to realize they are, yes, the dust of your feet, the evidence of your presence and your watch and care for us. And Lord, we thank you that that is all a result of the gift that you gave in your Son for our salvation. And Lord, I pray if there's one yet here in this room that doesn't know Christ personally, doesn't have assurance of eternal life in heaven with you, that they would seek someone out and make that decision before they leave this place today. Go with us, guide us, protect us, gather us again safely this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.